Navigating Life's Transitions, Lessons from the Book of Joshua. In fact, it'd be a good time for you to turn on your Bible or on your smart devices to Joshua chapter 1. Navigating Life's Transitions. Sometimes it's tiring. Sometimes it's troubling. I mean, don't you get tired sometimes of navigating? I know you just sung, "I'm on my way." But what if I'm tired of being on my way and I need to be where I am. I'm just comfortable where I am right now. Yeah, I'm comfortable. I mean, what if, because sometimes you just get tired of moving about and life just happening at an unsteady pace. You don't know what's happening from one day to the next. And then you get to that place where you're just tired of moving. Anybody?
Amen.
Anybody ever got just tired? Sick and tired of being tired? Greg, don't be walking in front of me, man. I'm just sitting down. And it happens like that because everybody's always on the go, always moving, and sometimes you get tired of moving. Sometimes you just feel like you're at that place, you know, where I may not be where I should be. I may not even be where God has planned for me to be. But there's a sense of familiarity where I am, so I'm comfortable. You know, God, every week there's a plan that's made, that's prayed over, that is inspired by God about how we're going to gather in this place and worship Him. We call it our planning center online. It's a plan that we believe God inspires us to follow as we seek to discover where He wants us to be. In fact, according to that plan, I'm supposed to be over there. According to that plan, right about now, after Jesus brought me out, I'm supposed to be delivering a message over there. And yet I'm trying to be comfortable sitting over here. But the truth is, we cannot get what God wants to give us until we are willing to go where God wants to guide us. I hope you caught that. Because even though it may be comfortable here, where God has assigned for me to be, it's over there. And if I stay past where I was, then I never truly experience all that God has for me to experience in this life. Yeah, it may be comfortable over there, but over there is not where He promised for me to be. Can I talk to some people just for a moment who have their Bibles open? Because right there in the first chapter of Joshua, as the children of Israel have been navigating life with all the twists and the turns and the tragedies and the struggles, and they get to this place called Moab, and there they are in Moab. There are no more enemies because under Moses' leadership, all the enemies in Moab were conquered. And the children of Israel are in a safe, comfortable place. But they're not in the place where God wants to get them. Maybe that's where we are today. At least some of us, we've grown comfortable in our places, not realizing that the God we serve is calling us to have the courage to continue. The courage to continue on, because God is not a God who just stays in one place. No, he's calling all of us to move forward, to move on, because there is a promise that God has that he's laid out for the children of Israel. And I hope you see this in the first chapter. In the first chapter of Joshua, there's a promise God lays out, and that promise has at least three parts to it. First of all, God promised that he had a plan. I hope you have your Bibles open, because right there in verse 2, he says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, go arise, go over to Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." Look at God's plan. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses." So oftentimes we get stuck in our transitions because the reality is we don't realize that God is here to guide us. And when God is guiding us, we got to make sure that we don't miss God in the transitions. Craig, we got to make sure that as we are moving about life, as we are going through the unexpected and the unforeseen, that God sees all. He knows all, and he's laid out a plan for all those who call upon him. He had a plan. The promise comes with a plan. God says the plan is that you're going to go over to Jordan. The plan is that you're going to receive property and provisions that I have for you. That's part of God's plan for them. Look at verse 4. It says, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, everything going west," God says, I have given to you. That's his plan. And he promises, in all that we go through in life, God promises he has a plan for us. But not only that, he has a promise that he protects us. Look at verse 5. He tells Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." Look at this. God's plan, God's promise comes with a plan, but it also comes with God's protection. Do you see it there in text? He says to Joshua and the children of Israel, and he says to you, Champion Forest Baptist Church here in Jersey Village, he says, "Be strong and courageous, one, because I got a plan for you." But the plan calls for you to move, because you can't discover this plan if you're stagnant. So I have a plan for you, and you can go courageously, because the plan is not only that I will bless you, get this, but I'm going to also protect you. That people will come up against you. Things will happen in life that will come against you. But God says, as he says to Joshua, "I will never leave you." Oh, man, I thought I was preaching Bible to some folk who've been living a while to know that God says, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Because his promise is that he has a plan for you. His promise is that he's here to protect you. But thirdly, so his promise has three parts. His promise is for full provision. Look at it. Verse 7, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you." Look at his provisions. "Do not turn from it." He's provided it. "Don't turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Look at what God provides. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. He's providing for them what is needed. Have I not commanded you, JV? Have I not commanded you, saints of God? Have I not commanded you, children of God? Do not be afraid. Rather, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever. I hope you catch this. He's with you wherever you go. That's God's plan for the children of Israel. That's God's promise of provision and protection for the children of Israel. But get this, as Pastor George said in the 8:15 service, that's God's promise for the children today. But we have to have the courage to continue. Go on and help me preach for a moment and just nudge your neighbor. Tell them, have courage to continue. You didn't even have courage to tell them that. Try one more time. You know why? Because God is here to guide us. And don't miss this, please. Because oftentimes when we're in life and we're going through, we forget that God is with us in every transition of life. In fact, the only thing constant is that things in life always change. I know this is true. Every time I get ready to come before people, I know that things in life always change. Even when I didn't want it to change, I'm starting to see that it changes. Because there was a time when my beard was just black. And I went in the mirror and I thought there was some lint that was there, but I realized that was growing from my face. And I said, times are changing. And when you try to adjust for a minute and you sweat, the just for men come out. Because you can't hide that change happens. It is the constant. And the message for the morning is for us to understand that God wants to get us to a place where we trust him through the transitions. That in order to be strong and courageous, brothers and sisters, we got to learn how to trust God. I mean, trust God even when we prefer to stay where we are. And God says, but that's not all that I have for you to experience. And I get it. Because sometimes we get comfortable even if it's chaotic. Now at least we know that chaos. We can get complacent even in areas of life, Shannon, where we know that this is not God's best for us. But we're frightened about what's next for us. So we choose to stay with the chaos we know. If we're gonna have the courage to continue, we gotta learn how to trust God in the transitions. Have you ever been there before? I'm not talking about those predictable transitions. No. Have you ever been there before where you're waiting to find out what's the next move and he says, go this way, and then you're like, well, but is that really the right way to go? Oh, you don't be real with me up in here. But because God will challenge us so that he can teach us and grow us to understand that even when transitions happen in life, that transitions may be new to us, But all-knowing God says there's nothing new to him, which means he knows exactly where you are. He knows where you are in life. He knows what you're going through. And he says, trust me so that you can get through what I'm trying to guide you through. And Paul, let some of us in here right now, you're face to face with a transition, where not it's a transition in career or a transition in your community or a transition even in your life. One phone call from a doctor can put you in a transition. One situation in economics that caused a layoff can put you in transition. One trusted friend who proves to be someone who cannot be trusted can put you in transition. But Cass, here's the good news, that God already knew before we ever knew that it would happen to us. God already knew and had a plan, a promise, protection, and his presence to guide you through it. I really hope you get this. Because God wants us to trust him in the transitions. They are in the plains, oh Moab. And the first thing I want us to note is that if we're going to trust God in the transitions, if we're going to continue courageously, if we're really going to say, Jesus brought me out and now I am on my way. If we're going to do that, listen, do not be dismissive of opportunities. If we are going to continue courageously, don't be dismissive of the God opportunities that God gives to you. I hope you see this. For they're in the plain, they're in the plains of Moab, and Joshua is there. Here they are. They are in the fertile plains of Moab. I want you to see just how fertile the plains of Moab were. Here it is, an outlook just there they are in the valley, in that flat plain where it's all fertile, rocky conditions all around, but in that particular place is a well-watered land. They're in that place. And God says in verse 2, arise and go. Arise and go where? Arise and go from your place of comfort. Arise and go from your place of ease. Arise and go from being an attender to being a member of the church. Arise and go from being a spectator to being a participator in ministry. Arise and go from singing in the those aren't pews. I was gonna say pews, but in the chairs and sing in the choir. Arise and go. Wait a minute, but I'm comfortable where I am, but where you are is not the end of the story, because where you are is not where God has for you to go. Did you catch me? Because every time God gives you a breath, there's an opportunity. And God gives us opportunities every single day to experience more and more of him, but we must be willing to go. If we're going to trust God in transitions, we have to understand that he's a progressive God, so we need to continue to go. And we must not be dissuaded. Don't be dissuaded by the obstacles. We read the obstacles right there in the text, because notice what God says. Verse 2, he says to Joshua, go over this Jordan. Don't run past that. These people who are here, the children of Israel, are not seaworthy people. If you know anything about their history, then they were in Egyptian captivity for years, and then God delivers them, leads them out of Egypt with the leader of Moses. And those of you who know Bible know that Moses led them through the Red Sea, led them wandering in the wilderness, and now they're at a precipice to receive God's promise, and God tells them to cross over the Jordan. Okay, man, let me. They don't have boats, Mike. You're not understanding. But he says, cross over the Jordan. All these people and every place the sole of your foot treads upon, I've already given it to you. You don't see the obstacle yet, do you? Let me help you see it. From the wilderness of Lebanon, as far as the great sea, which is the Mediterranean, and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. But the people he's speaking to have never seen the Hittites. The people he's speaking to have never crossed on the other side of the Jordan. Do you see this obstacle just yet? So God is giving them instructions, and he's telling them to do something that they have never done. Let me show you what it looks like. Because right there east is where they're camped at, east. That, for those of you who are new to maps, the E stands for free. East. I want you to get this. Right above the North Sea is the plains of Moab. You see that small blue line that's leading to the Dead Sea right there? That's the River Jordan. Now, if you look at the topography, check this out. There is a mountain ridge to the east. There's a river in front of them going to the west, and they can't even see what God is describing as the land of the Hittites. But they know where they are. They're comfortable where they are. And God is showing us that as we go through life and we navigate life, we ought not be dissuaded by the obstacles, but trust God enough to know that if God said that he's going to give it to you, that no matter what life throws at you, God is faithful to his word. In fact, let me just help you put it this way, that don't look at obstacles as some indication that you're not a part of God's plan, because sometimes God uses obstacles to be the setup so that other people can see his power being used through your life. You're not catching me just yet here. Sometimes God will look at our lives and God will orchestrate the obstacle. One, so that we would learn more how to trust in him, but when others see us overcome the obstacle, then it'll lead them to say, I want what you got, because whatever you got works better than what I'm using. God sometimes orchestrates the obstacles not for us to be dissuaded by it, no, but rather sometimes he does it to protect us. He does it to protect us because as I was driving, Ricky, and I was traveling on the highway as I was making my way, trying to get to Louisiana, because I had to funeralize a family member who's very dear to me, my uncle, just yesterday, and Friday. So as I was trying to get there, Brother Al, the roadway that I was accustomed to getting there, there was a sign that came up. Nah, you got that, Ricky. And so what I usually go and see as a detour forced me to make a transition for my own protection. Come here. Let me holler at you for a moment. So God is telling them to move from Moab, move from the plains of Moab. He's telling them, despite the obstacles, despite the fact that you don't know everything that God has for you, despite the fact that you haven't been there before, you have to trust God, because God knows exactly what he has for you, and only God can get you where he wants you to be. But in order for you to get there, you got to go and allow God to lead you. So, needless to say, I didn't turn that way. I continued forward, finding out when the next sign was going to be. But Al, if we're going to trust God through transition, we don't be dismissive to opportunities. Don't be dissuaded by obstacles. But still in the text, look at verse 5. He says, do not be discouraged by opposition. It's right there. Because obstacles is a territory that they don't know of. That's verse 4. But look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Don't run past this verse. No man shall be able to stand before you. He didn't say no man won't be able to confront you or even challenge you. Let me help you understand something. Because obstacles are those detours on our way that causes us to make turns when we didn't plan it or predict it. But opposition, that's people. He says that people are going to come against you. Oh, I wish I had some folk here who had some history with God. Because you know that oftentimes it is the opposition, you know, that is the price tag for God's favor. I hope you get this. It comes with the territory. That people won't like the favor that God has on your life. If I was in another context, I'd tell you to tell your neighbor something, but some of y'all are still scared, but favor ain't fair. And when God blesses you, everybody won't like it. But guess what? God blesses those who choose to trust in him. Tyrone, we may not know all of the territory. We may not know what's up ahead. We may not know what the next turn is going to bring, but we do know that everywhere we go, God's got us. God is with us. Nobody can stand against us because there's nobody bigger than God. He said, no weapon that is formed against me. Yeah, it's going to be formed. Yes, it's going to happen. Yes, haters high on haterade will get on your last Christian nerve. But God says, if you stand with me, I'll stand for you. So as you are trusting him in the transitions, don't get discouraged by opposition. But finally, brothers and sisters, as you trust him, in the transitions. Look at with me at the latter part of text. God says, only, verse 7, be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, has commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Do you see it there? He says, the word shouldn't depart your mouth or your mind. Because he says, meditate on it day and night. And because some of us are hard of hearing and we forget easily, God said it for a third time, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Because if we're going to trust God in transitions, it says don't turn to the left or turn to the right. It tells us that we should not, we ought not. If you're going to trust him, do not be distracted from obedience. I knew right around there, folk was going to get quiet. They're good about, he's going to bless me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to protect me. And God is doing all those things and have been doing all those things. But Wayne, check it out. But God has some expectations too. And that is that you're going to do what he tells you to do. You know, y'all, let me. They're gone. So let me talk to you for a moment. You know, I remember this because, see, I grew up in an era where there was really only a few rules, right? One was you never said no to your mama. Yeah. Because if you did, after you woke up from your coma, you'd realize. That's good parenting practices. I'm trying to help some of y'all up in here. He says, stay focused. Stay connected to your in obedience. If God says forgive, then you forgive. Don't remember what they did to you last week. Don't remember what they said in life group last year. No, God says forgive, then you're supposed to forgive. God says do good even to those who despitefully use you, then that's what you are supposed to do. You're supposed to do what God says for you to do. And if you forget it, God will remind you that he said it, and that settles it. There's no discussion. There's no debate. God says, listen, you want to get what I have for you? You want to experience the blessings that I have for you? Then you got to do it the way I say do it. Yeah. I hope you get this. I don't know how this is going to translate in the next service when I practice my Espanol. I don't know how it's going to translate, but this is how the Lord revealed to me. He said, don't look at the left. Don't look at the right, but you stay in obedience, keeping the book of the law in your mouth, meditating on his word in your mind. Don't look to the left or look to the right. I told you I was traveling, and when I'm traveling, Tyrone, sometimes the Holy Spirit is challenging me. Because, you see, I still hadn't figured something out in life. I'm going to show you what I saw while I was driving. Go ahead and show them that. This is what I saw when I was driving. This is what I saw. It's from my vehicle. Gas light not on, thank God, but this is where I was. This is where I was, right? I'm in drive, and I knew I had to show y'all I'm going to be safe, so I'm going zero miles per hour. Yeah. But I'm in drive. This was messing me up. I'm like, God, what you mean? You know, left or the right, stay obedient. Well, in my car, because God knows I forget. You see that my car tells me what the speed limit is supposed to be on the road I'm traveling. You see it right there? Speed limit, how fast am I supposed to be going? What I can't figure out is why they gave me a vehicle that can go 140 miles per hour. If the only way you want me to drive is, you ain't feeling my pain. You ain't feeling my pain here. But that's the law. That's the command. That is the assignment that's in front of me. 65. Here's your limit. Go 65 miles per hour. Don't look to the right. Because if I look to the right, I can get there faster. But not safer. I'm trying to help you understand something. See, sometimes in life, y'all, we want to get ahead of God. We want to be in a hurry. Get me to my promised land. And God is saying, I'm trying to get you in my presence so you can enjoy being with me on the journey. We want to be in a hurry, and God says, no, I need you to be fully present with me now and committed to doing it the way that I'm telling you to do it. It was interesting in this text. Verse 2 shows us the progression. He says, everywhere your foot treads, I have given to you. Everywhere your foot treads. Because there's a print that's made when you're treading. So you can look back and see what God has taken you from on your way to what God is taking you to. But notice, not where you run, but where you walk. Because these people don't have chariots. These people are walking with God. And when you walk with God, you walk at God's pace. When you walk with God, you got to see where he's going in order to go with him. Not get distracted on the right or on the left, but rather fully focus to where God is leading you. And you know, if you're in the LaMille's house, there's one leader. And since it's not a democracy, that's not the government. There's no elections in the LaMille's house. You know how to pray for my kids now. Because when I move, if y'all know Ludacris, you move. Just like that. And when the boys know, they know, when you see me working, boys, what you supposed to be doing? That's right, you heard them. If I'm working, you're working. And if I'm walking, your job is to keep up with me. But don't get ahead of me now, because that's disrespectful. I grew up old school. I'll throw something at you. All right. I'm not God, you all. But I want you to hear me as God leads us in life. That life is filled with swift transitions. But God is here to guide you. That there are troubles that will happen along the way, but you don't have to get dissuaded by the obstacles, because God oversees all. And if you can trust a global positioning system that don't always get it right, that needs to be updated all the time, then you ought to trust a God who says he's the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. And what I love about God is that there are no dead ends on God's pathway. Because God is the kind of God that makes a highway where there ought not be a highway. Read your Bibles. Because when they were there at the Red Sea, didn't know how they were going to get there. That was an obstacle that God orchestrated. So they would know that God is the kind of God that can open up what seems closed. You're not with me just yet here. That they would know that God is the kind of God that will provide for you, that when you don't know how you're going to make it through, God said, I just needed you to take a step forward so I can show you how I can get you through. God is that kind of God that says, when you let me guide you, I got you, and he will hold you. He'll keep you when you learn to trust in him. So will you have the courage to continue? To continue growing with God? Will you have the courage to continue? To be the godly husband that God says, I can get you to be. Will you have the courage, God, to continue? So you can be that Christian on campus that God is calling you to be. Will you have the courage to continue to go with God, transitioning from your place of ease and high expectations of a greater experience with him?
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.